So then let's continue with Preserved by the Truth, part five of it. Let's go to our text in Psalm 40, verse 11. Hallelujah. Praise God. I think I'm coming down there. Let me look at you face to face. Are we going down? You okay? Okay. It seems like she's dictated. Just stay, brother, with her. Mama Ann, it's so good to see you. Welcome. So good to see you, Brother Steve, again. Welcome, 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 welcome. And every one of you. You see, when I come close by here, I can see your face. Timothy, I can see you now. Yeah, I can see you now. Now then, in that Preserved by the Truth, in Psalm 40, verse 11, we began that some weeks ago. Do not withhold your tender mercies from me, O Lord, your loving kindness and your truth continually preserve me. You seen that? Let's say it. Your truth continually preserve me. That's what we've said this, and we've looked at several scriptures, and God wants to preserve your life. God wants you to come to the end of your earthly life strong, healthy, wealthy, hallelujah, sound. That's the will of God for you. Remember, I think it should be, is it in Genesis 24, that and Abraham was blessed by God in all things. Can you have, let me look at this over here. That is in Genesis. Should be 24. Let me see. Yeah. Look at verse 1. And Abraham was old, well advanced in age. And the Lord had blessed Abraham in how many things? All things. All things. Came to an old age. Remember, he had his son, Isaac, at 100. And then he lived to another 75 years, even as Sarah, went to the other side of eternity. He still married Keturah. That man was something. That's health, a health life. He still married Keturah, and they had some other children. Amen. Maybe there are ladies who are saying, I'm not going to die to leave my husband to marry someone else. I will live with him to the end. Yeah, you can live at 175 with Abraham. But anyway, he still did that. And look at this. I mean, Abraham had been blessed. God wants to preserve your life. Hallelujah. And in 2 Timothy, in preparing to continue, in 2 Timothy chapter 3, 16 to 17, the Message translation says, every part of Scripture is God-breathed and useful one way or another, showing us what? Truth. Come on. Showing us truth. Exposing our rebellion. Are you seeing that? That the Scripture, every part of it, is God-breathed and useful one way or another, showing us truth, exposing our rebellion, correcting our mistakes, training us to live God's way. And then the New Living Translation, come on, say this, let's continue. Through what, that is verse 17, through the word we are put together and shaped up for the tasks God has for us. I love that. Through the word we are put together and shaped up for the tasks, plural, God has for us. And 2 Timothy 3:16, the New Living Translation of the same scripture says, all scripture is inspired by God and is useful, can you say it together, is useful to teach us what? What is true. Like the scripture that I've just given to you from that 1 Samuel chapter 12. That's an attitude of faith. That's an attitude of faith. And to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we are wrong and teaches us to do what is right. Let's read the other one. God uses it to prepare and equip his people. Oh, come on, which version is it? New Living Translation. Okay, let me use this. It's God's way of preparing us in every way, fully equipped for every good thing God wants us to do. Remember in Ephesians chapter 2 verse 10, especially the Amplified Classic Version says that he called us, we are born anew, recreated in Christ Jesus, that we may do the good works that God prepared ahead of us for us to do. So last Sunday we looked at remaining focused in the midst of many distractions. And the last point I made was to keep your priorities in place. So to keep our priorities in place, and the other words, three words I said is what? First, things first. I should be giving out some money for people who are responding. And you all come alive. Like I do, I do so many times in schools. But I was doing it even to the Mwiki Community School this past, I think I've had two meetings with them. And when they answer a question, the first time one answered and then I gave them some money, after that they became alive. Every one of them was just looking at me. They didn't know where the money was coming from. Or the next question I was going to ask for them to receive some money. Now look at this. Keep your priorities in place. First things first. And in Luke chapter 10, this time we are going to look it up from the Amplified Classic Version. Luke 10. 40 to 42. 40 to 42. Remember the story? Remember Jesus had visited their house, Martha and Mary. And then verse 40, the Amplified Classic Version says, but Martha, overly occupied and too busy. Don't forget those words. Martha, overly occupied and too busy, was distracted with much serving. And I'll ask you a question. Was what she was doing right? Yes. But we are dealing here with priorities. And the master himself talked about priorities. But Martha, overly occupied and too busy, was distracted with much serving. And she came up to him, to Jesus, and said, Lord, is it nothing to you that my sister has left me to serve alone? Just think about this. I don't know if there are other people in the house, but would you think of it, other guests in the house? I may have to check it out. But think about this. Was Mary thinking, Martha thinking that Jesus was going just to stay at the table or dining table or the living room waiting for food with no one? No. But Mary chose to learn from the master. And then he says this, Lord, is it nothing to you that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her, most like the other guests, I can tell. Tell her then to help me to lend a hand and do her part along with me. And then listen to the other part. Goes on to verse 41, I think. But the Lord replied to her by saying, Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things. There is need of only one, or but a few things. But Mary has chosen the good portion, that which is to her advantage, which shall not be taken away from her. Focusing on God's word and learning from the master is to your advantage. Is to your advantage. Do you want to live a peaceful life? Do you want to move forward? Do you want to be preserved? That is very important, focusing on the words of the master. Tell her then to help me. That's what she said. Let me make some statements here. Too busy to prioritize God is an error that will lead to destruction. Too busy to prioritize God in your life, in my life, is an error that will lead to destruction. Remember the word there, overly occupied and too busy. When one is overly occupied and too busy to sit and listen to the Lord, it means that they are living a natural life without the Spirit. Overly occupied and too busy to listen to the Lord, of course, that means they are distracted. They're living a natural life without the Spirit, without the Holy Spirit. Oh my goodness. What is it that we can do in this life as believers without the Holy Spirit? I can't even imagine. Doing anything without the Holy Spirit. But He's our strength. He strengthens us. He helps us. He gives us strength to continue serving the Lord. And therefore, when one is occupied and too busy to sit and listen to the Lord, it means that they are living a natural life without the Spirit. They are carnally minded. They cannot hear the voice of God. Here is God visiting this home, but Martha could not hear the voice of God. They cannot hear the voice of God, and that is actually, I think it's 1 Corinthians chapter 3, should be verse 3, they are living as all like mere men. Just a human being. I hear people say, we are just human beings. I'm not. I'm born again. I'm born of the Spirit. John chapter 1 verse 12, it says, as many as received him, gave he the right to become children of God. So I used to be just a human being, but I'm not just a human being. I have the Spirit of God in me. You do also as a believer in Christ. You have to know that. You have the Spirit of God in you. You are not just a human being. If you are not born again, you are just a human being. If you are born again, you are not just a human being. You have the Spirit of God indwelling you. Now, for such a person, when you are busy and overly occupied, let me see if this makes sense and faith. The carnal nature is your default mode. Does that make sense and faith? Let me ask some English major. Does it make? Okay. Default is your default mode. You lean on the natural. You lean on the natural. That is done. You hear even believers in Christ say this. Kabila yetu imeisha. Have you ever had people say that? Tumemalizo kwa hii kabila. That's terrible. We are born of the Spirit. Really, we must renew our minds from kabila yangu. Okay, the natural carnal mind is the default mode. But listen to this. It takes focus to hear from God daily. It takes focus. That means there are conversations you will not be part of. That means, so good to see you, Michael. That means there are conversations that you will not be part of. That means there are people you won't be part of. You hear that, youth? Proverbs 13, verse 20 says, "Who walks with the wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed." The people that will not keep their company. That means there are some social media platforms you will not be part of. Oh, that one you shouted. Serving you is my delight. We'll sing that song to the end. Come on, Victoria, keep them up. Keep them up. Even all your city, keep them up. Serving you is my delight. So it takes focus to hear the voice of God daily. And let me give you such a key here. When your heart is prepared by reading the Word of God, praying and fellowshipping with the Lord, it will be easier for you to hear when the Lord is giving you instructions anywhere, anytime. That takes what? Heart prepared in the Word and prayer and fellowshipping with the Father. It will be easier for you to hear the voice of God every time, everywhere. you are less, you become less distracted, and that means you'll be more focused. Less distracted, but more focused. Why is that? Because your heart is kept by the Word of God, prayer, and fellowshipping. Remember the one we call it, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us now and forever. The fellowship of the Holy Spirit. It means then our hearts become sensitive to God's word. You are less distracted and more focused. You are more focused. Another thing that will happen, you'll become more focused to bless others. I think it should be Matthew 24 verse 12 about the end times, one of which the signs of the end times. And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. People are becoming cold, and if there's an English word like this, colder. The love of many will grow cold because of lawlessness. I told you, I think I've said several times actually, I saw an expose after a while, years after I got born again. You know, I used to help people. You know, sometimes people beg you, you know, on the streets to give them some money and all that. And then I saw an expose that those many of them in Nairobi were put there in the morning to make money for some cartels. And then I thought, Lord, you know what I'm talking about? You know what I'm talking about? Yes. I thought, Lord, I've been gone for a long time then. I don't think I'll be helping anyone. And this is how he spoke to me. He said this, if you pay attention to me, I will show you who to help and who not to help. Because there are many fake dollars and fake Kenya shillings notes, has the central bank, Central bank stopped printing? They call it central, what are they called? Have they stopped printing money or currency? No. What is your main duty, you and I, and for them, is to make sure that you are able to know which ones are fake. So you can't say, I'm never going to have 1,000 shillings because it's fake. There are so many fake ones. No. Anyone who's ever thought that way? If you've thought that way, then you're foolish. Oh, sorry. This is church. These are God's people. They're not foolish. But we don't think that way in the natural. But because they are fake things, that does not mean the genuine, the sincere is not valid. I'll not get married because there are many men who are liars, but they are genuine ones. You're looking at the original genuine ones. Huh? Any other man who is here? Am I the only one here? God. Oh, there are a few hands going up. Why are you? Are you? You see, because they are fake, they are liars and cheaters, you don't throw away your genuine pursuit. Amen? Amen? Serving you is my delight. Let me see if you'll sing now. Because you're being quiet. Come on. I saw you jumping. Come on. Serving you is my delight. Come on, I can't hear you.
Serving you is my delight.
So for you saying amen, you are serving the Lord together, okay? Don't keep quiet. Now listen to this then. So that part you become less distracted when you allow the word of God to influence your heart and you become more focused on being a blessing to others. Let me address something over here to correct something that just happened. You see, as a pastor, giving instructions is really for the benefit of people and the congregation. Like this week, I said, we've announced several times concerning, let's be of great support to our church member who went to be with the Lord. Let's be of great support. Let's sow I'll see. I checked out that offering. I thought, are these the people I pastor? That they're a family member. Can I tell you something here about a high level of thinking? A believer in Christ is your true brother or sister. Our natural family members, we love them, we pray for them. It's the will of God for them to be born again. But listen to this. If they don't get born again, we'll not spend eternity with them. But you and I, who are believers in Christ, will spend eternity with one another. I looked at that, the giving, and I think, is this a church I pastor? Because Pastor Carl and I are not stingy. This ministry is not stingy. That means there's so much distraction, people don't hear even the instruction of being a great help to others. I felt like it was just a handful of us who participated in this. It grieved my heart, and I know it grieved the Holy Spirit. As a church member, hey, you as a church member, do you want us to be part of what is happening in your life? Sow that seed. Take time. Even on Wednesday, we are a number of us, but that was much less than people I would have expected to attend that memorial service. That lady came from Ngong. Not Ngong town, farther in. She had had kidney failure for about 10 years. Her kidneys are not functioning. So she was on dialysis. She used to sit around here, is that so? Yeah. Just around here. And she will come before 10 o'clock. I know that didn't please the Lord. You must be attentive to the Holy Spirit to meet the needs of others. To be a blessing to others. Don't limit your life to just attending church. That's very little. Just be in church on Sunday. In Kenya we say, oh, we are Christian. 80% are Christians. No, not true. If we are 80% Christians, we could not have had the issues that we have in our nation. But 80% you are not Christians. A very small number is the true church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Born again, serving God, is a very small number. I was a sinner. I was a drunkard. If you found me maybe at midnight so drunk, and you asked me, so which religion are you in? I said, I'm devil, I'm a Christian. I thought I was. I was a son of the devil. I was a child of the devil. So because you have been baptized, that does not make you and I a Christian. But you receiving Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, confessing Him as Lord and Savior, and serving Him. That's a true believer. You are quiet. We have an opportunity to sow every time. And I'm telling you, like in this ministry, the opportunities to sow, the opportunities to serve. Just think about, somebody will come over here, please. Come over here. Come, somebody. Yeah, that's fine. Come over here. Just think about this. You won't fall. That's fine. The Lord's hand is holding you, subdue. And I'm here, I'm your person being. Just think about our going to Marsabit. How are you doing, girl? Are you okay? Good. Nairobi's cold. Yeah? Just think about this. Come over here with me. Going to that village, just by the Spirit, really, among the Gabra people. And then we go there. For those who've not heard the story, we went there and found that she had been stung by a scorpion. And supernaturally, just out of the mass and the grace of God, reaching out to her, and she comes. She's treated. Take her to Masabi town. She's treated. And then now what happens? We start talking, and they need to go to college. Now you're doing what in college? procurement. Which college? Remind me. ZTEC. She's in ZTEC doing procurement, and she received the Lord Jesus Christ. She's born again. Tongue talking. Yeah, tongue talking. Just think about that. Now, I'm so, and Pastor Carla has really sensed this, and I sense this. You have such a destiny, girl. Such a place in Christ to do her will, to do God's will in our generation. But listen to this. It wasn't a cloud in the heaven which we saw and say, go to my Sabbath. Go, my children, to my Sabbath. We didn't see any cloud. Compassion, you have to be sensitive inside of you. And we have many other children. Can I have the Wiki Community School? Just three handsome of you and beautiful ones. Five of you. We have a company, don't worry. Five of you. Can I have you quickly come over here? Yeah, thank you. Now, think about this school. Now, you heard me many times for us saying this. So towards our going to Marsabit. Thank you, people. So towards our going to Marsabit. Tomorrow we are leaving even, going to Marsabit, Tico Norman and I, and then Boris for photos. And Tammy, this time, Tammy from Israel, she said, I'm going with you, Pastor. I said, okay. She's a former IDF, so I didn't have any problem going around with a sword, you know. She's a soldier, a former Israel Defense Force person, so that's fine. We can. So we are going tomorrow to check out the progress of the water project. Of course, we did the borehole and then piping the water to the village and to a school. So we want to see the progress because Pastor Carla is coming on the 5th, on the 6th, August, Tuesday 6th. So I know when she comes here, we'll be so busy, and we are going towards the lead 24. We'll be so busy. So I wanted us to go check out the progress of the work and come before the month of August. Now listen to this. That seed, I've said it over, so towards that. That's a precious seed. That will bring forth fruit. But if you are in church and you just listen to the announcements, half asleep, don't respond. Listen, opportunities will come and pass you. We have children from the home. We have children at our school, the children church. We have about 200 in average attendance of now our children's church because, again, of sowing. You must be eternity-minded. When you are distracted, the scripture that we read there, distracted, you are just thinking about your life. There's not much you'll do for the kingdom. And your love will grow cold. Now look at this. Thank you, Sabri. Stay here a little bit. Let me brag about you a little bit more. Now we have now the Wiki Community School coming over here. They requested, they came, I think, the first ones are what, 40? 60. So I was told they were coming. Daniel Maura goes there to minister to them through KSCF. Then they said, we are coming to visit. I said, that's fine. Let's make arrangements for them to come. And they came. And they came 60 of them. And the next request I had was, can we come some more? I said, how many will you be? 60. Okay, fine. What are we doing? We're paying for their bus to bring them and give them some snacks. When you have youth meeting here, give them some food, and then we send them back to school. And this past week, actually, I met with the director, Norman and I met with the directors and the head teacher. They say, we are closing on Monday because you don't have even food. That even the meal, the snacks they have here on Sundays, is their lunch. Wow. We don't have any food. What did I do? As a minister, let's source some money into them having food. You being part of that is you're opening your heart to God's generosity and to see him nourish you, preserve you, fill your life with his goodness. But if you stay here and you just look at me smiling and nodding your head and do nothing, that's not pleasing to the Lord. Now look at this. Let me tell you this. And any pastor who ever watch me will agree with this. When you bring people, that young people like this, that means you are spending. Come on now. You know you didn't come to church for free, did you? You told the conductor, I'm going to church. Ingia sare tu hakuna shida. You know they don't do that. You pay, or you go to the petrol station, say, I'm going to church, you need to fill this tank. Okay, fine, you are God's person. No, you don't do that. That means they are coming here, we saw as a ministry. And I'm telling you, we saw by faith. It's not because we have billions that we don't know how to spend, but we saw by faith, we are opening our hearts to the Lord to do a work through us in changing other lives. So that means their transport, their snacks, every Sunday, that means it's costly. But listen this. Hey, let me see hands of you from Wiki school that you came here, you're not born again, but now you're born again. Let me see your hand. Oh, stand up, please, stand up. You came here not born again, but now you're born again. Come on. And you who are here, you can lift up your hand if you're part of that. Just stand up. Just keep standing. Think about that. Think about that. I know there are more. There are six. Some still standing. Come on, all of you, please. You came here. When you came here for the first time in church, you're not born again. But now you've been born again. Come into this church. Let me see you, please. If you're still seated, stand up. I want to see you. Just think about this. And you, anyone here? Just lift it up. Anyone here? You are born again. You are when you came. You're the leader of the CU. Yeah. You're born again. But you aren't born again when you came. Yeah. And you're born again when you came. You aren't. Are you? Okay. Lift up your hand if you aren't. Now think about this. All these people, or these young people. Thank you. It's all right. Standing at the front is not easy. But the unborn again, that means every seed we are sowing is in for the sake of these young people. We don't know who you are raising. We are raising up. We don't know. Just one of these young people, just one of them, or many of them, can change this nation completely. That means yours and my seed has gone into a life, has changed your life, and we have a harvest that is going to impact so many people. Listen, don't allow your love to grow cold. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. You can go ahead and do this. Thank you. That's the point. Don't allow that. Oh, Pastor, you don't know how many troubles I have. You don't know how many I have. But I have had to believe God to place those before Him, the Master, Jesus. You don't know. Can I tell you something, everyone? If every one of us was given a mic to talk about what they are going through, we will cry here until end of the year. Christmas will find us here crying. Come on now. All of us go through challenges. But the just shall live by faith. The just. We'll never do anything. Many times if I was going to look at our account, we will never help anyone. But we are feeding children. We are educating children. We are paying bills. We are making progress. And others are coming and be touched by the Lord to be part of us. You need to be. Don't be stingy. Like right now we have an opportunity to sow. I mean, think like, Pastor, that's the reason you are talking about? That's the reason? Let me tell you something. That's not the reason. The reason is for you to change, for you to be blessed, for you to progress, for you to experience the double. Mordecai told Esther, in that Esther chapter 4, verse 14, he says, if you hold your peace, salvation of the Jews will come from somewhere else. Can I have that scripture, please? Esther 4:14. Who knows? He says, if you remain completely silent at this time, you're supposed to say, you're supposed to save the Jewish people. She had been placed there by God. There's no cloud in the air saying that, cloud in the sky saying, you are being placed here by God. But listen to this, you have to listen to the purposes of God in your heart and love God and seek him and pursue him. And Esther was told by Mordecai, if you remain completely silent at this time, relief and deliverance will arise for the Jews from another place, but you and your father's house will perish. Yet, I'm talking to you now. Who knows whether you have come to the kingdom for such a time as this? Don't hold your peace. Pray for the nation. Don't hold your peace. Be generous. Don't hold your peace. Listen to the word on Sunday and be a doer of it. Pastor, metukasirikia leo. No. It's just stinginess should not be in the church. The members of the body should not, their love should not grow cold. We have, now listen to me careful. We have lead conference coming up in August. Our part, Agape is paying quite some money, but our part is for preparation to have that lead is about 1.5 million shillings. Now we have pastors coming from other countries. Like I think we have like what? Was it 26 you're saying? Oh, they're coming from Uganda. And different, coming from different places to come for this leadership meeting. Your seed will go to the nations. $1.5 million. I want you to be part of that. Think about it. Pray, ask the Lord, I want this seed. I want this seed to sow, to us that. Be part of the local church. Participate. Don't be a spectator. Has that to do with preserved by the truth? A lot. A lot. Let's go to this one I was talking about, priorities. First things first. The second one I want to talk about is let the love of God compel you. Remember what I said there? Why would I say that? Remember, I started by saying this last week. There are things that we can learn from the Master, a lot of things, our Lord Jesus Christ. And some of those things is, he knew where he had come from and he knew where he's going. You could not derail him from his purpose. He came to save you and I, and he was focused in his purpose. Remember, there's a time they wanted to make him a king. When he perceived that, he went and he was by himself, because he was going to stay on the purpose that God, or in the purpose that God had brought here on earth. That should be you and I. There are so many things that will come to distract us, but when you know what we are supposed to do, we stay within God's purposes for our lives. That's critical. All right? So another thing is this. We know John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but do what? Have everlasting life. So listen this. What was the motive of God, or the intent of God, or let me put it in this manner. What moved God to send his son to this earth? Love. I'll ask again. What moved God to send his son on this earth? Love. God is love. All right? What moved his son in what he was doing here on this earth? The love of the Father in him. That should be our determining factor in whatever we do. Or should compel us to do his will. Should compel us. In 2 Corinthians, let the love of God compel you. That will keep you focused. When the love of God compels you. 2 Corinthians 5, 14 to 15. Listen to the Passion Translation. For it is Christ's love that fuels our passion and motivates us. I thought right there you're going to shout and jump around and run around a little bit, then sit down. It is that what? It's Christ's love that what? Fuels our passion and motivates us because we are absolutely convinced that he has given his life for all of us. This means all died with him, God verse 15, please, so that those who live should no longer live, let's say it together, self-absorbed lives, but lives that are poured out for him, the one who died for us and now lives again. Self-absorbed life does not change anyone. It changes you to become more stingy. And if there's a word like this, stingier. Become stingier and stinger. Because you're shutting that love. I say it over and over again. The love of God is outgoing. Don't forget that. The love of God is outgoing. Really, if you're living the love of God, there's so many times you'll forget about yourself. I was thinking like, what compels us to do what we do? Like what I was told you about the subdue. Of course, tomorrow morning we are going to Marsabit. And hours and hours driving there. Don't think like we stay there in a 5-star hotel. Huh? And the toilet you flush. You don't flush there. You do exercises called squatting. Squat exercise. So if you've not been squatting, you know that squat. You need to be that if you've not been doing those exercises, you will know that you're in Marsabit. Squat exercises. And there's no stool for you to sit on. Squat. Tammy, I know you know that. So, and no running water like you have been running water everywhere. You better know it. Finally, there's a room where I sleep in. They put there's a way they do it. They get a container, a big container, and they put it on top of the roof, where? On the roof, somewhere high. And then they have a pipe. Then it comes into your small shower. So they go up with the buckets, and they fill the container up for you to have a shower. You understand that? That's called improvisation. Improvised shower. What compels us? The love of God. Why do you do what we do in this ministry? The love of God. If we are self-absorbed, we never have helped anyone. Just be there. Send me 2,000 shillings. Even I need that 2,000 shillings. You ever heard people saying that? Even I am looking for someone. You know the way you talk in Kenya. Even I am looking for someone to send me that same 2,000. Self-absorbed. Let's see easy what easy says. Today I don't think I'll take long. I think. And now look at this. In easy, says this. Not easy to read, please. Easy. Do you have easy? All right, let's see how, if it's the one I'm looking for. Mine says this. Whatever we do, whatever we do, that's easy. Whatever we do it because Christ loves us. You see that? Whatever we do it because Christ loves us. We know that one man, Christ, died on behalf of all people. So we also know that all of us died with him. He died on behalf of all people. So while we live, we no longer live to please ourselves. While we live, we no longer live to please ourselves. Instead, we live to please Christ. We live to please Christ. And then he says this. He is the one that died on our behalf. He's the one that God raised up to live again. We live to please who? Christ. So we do what we do in this ministry because we live to please Christ. We live to please Christ. Opportunities, church. They open up. I mean, I make announcements here, wonderful announcements. Let me give you another example. Like the other week, we had the outreach to the elderly. Just few of you showed up. Now, I understand you can be busy on a day, you need to do something. I understand that. But I'm talking of a habit. I'm talking about a spirit that will not control you. I have authority over that spirit. You will not be overly occupied, but you are loosed to serve Christ and to please him. That kind of life does not do much. You need to be loosed. I'm going to speak about that. Thank you. Serving you is my delight. Serving you is my delight. Now you're no longer dancing that way in your heart. I may call you to sing that song again and see if they will respond better. Sometimes in church, in the body of Christ, we think serving the Lord is dancing. We can do all the dancing and that's it. How was it? I danced in church. We served the Lord this morning. We came to worship him and thank him. Listen, church. I'm going to speak the next point. Why do we do what we do? Because the love of God compels us. The love of God compels us. I was thinking about even this trip. Thank God nowadays is better. Pastor Wade and I used to drive all the way to Budalang. Preach on Sunday, Monday morning drive. Sometimes I drive the canter. I drove the canter many times, that canter. And we'll come back in the canter with Pastor Wade. He was in his late 60s then. But I'm telling you, the dust, the road, nowadays it's better. Then finally, we discovered, quote-unquote, we could catch a flight to Kisumu. Then from there, we get a car hire to Budalang. That helped us some, but still was challenging. So think about yesterday, where our flight was at 6. So that means, personally, I woke up at 2:30 a.m. So if you sleep at 10:30 and you wake up at 2:30, how much time is that? Mina pendo singizu wangu, misizu silala masama chachi, utafanya mengi. So I mean 10:30. And I'm not telling you something to make me feel big in anything. No, it's the love of God has to compel us. Because was that important to that family? Yes, it was. I've been her pastor for over the years, and Pastor Carl and I, but I'm the one here now. Then that means 2:30, get into the Word, prayer, prepare, go to the airport, leave. Thank God for some airlines. They don't keep time. They don't apologize. I find that it's disgusting to me. They don't keep time and they don't apologize. Is that? Don't allow that culture to get into your church. You don't keep time, you don't even apologize. Nimekuja, simeniona, nimekuja. What time did you agree for us to meet? They don't keep time, they don't apologize. So anyway, they didn't keep time, they didn't apologize. We forgave them. We went. We stayed there. The service was long. Long. So, long. Let me stop it right there, long. So then at 4:15, you are coming back, then come back again to Kisumu, and then from Kisumu, again, they didn't keep time, they didn't apologize. That means you get to the airport, just before nine. And I'm not complaining, but there's a certain culture that is not right, and should it be in church? Seriously. Sometimes I go, you know, you go to other airports. Few airports I've been to. Let me give you an example, like Dubai. You are many of them, they move you. And just you're moving, and just fast. You come to JKIA. And they don't apologize. I know you can get mad at me, but it's a fact. We are changing it. We need things up. Anyone who's ever felt that way? Dr. Kabaji, you travel quite a lot. Do you feel that way? You've moved in every airport so fast until you came to Kenya. Sasa, poor. That culture of poor. And then you move for a little bit. Then you see a booth. It's supposed to be occupied by the person, people are not there. We got at the airport in Kisumu, and then we're early. We want to check in. And then the guy says, they have not come yet. They haven't opened them. They haven't opened, it's what? It's just what? A slight over an hour, they're not even there. So finally they come in. Now, I'm not being a comedy in church, but you know what? You know what I'm talking about? It shouldn't be in church. That culture shouldn't be in church. Listen, we should lead in excellence. People should come to church and realize we start on time. Our excellence, we keep pushing higher and higher. We treat people well. We apologize when you've made mistakes. You're keeping quiet. Are you in part? Are you being conformed to that culture? Anyway, so that means we came. By the time we're getting out, you know, you come at the airport. By the time those buses come, by the time they take off, by the time you leave, it's late. By the time we get to the house, it's 10:30 in the evening. From 2:30 a.m. then to 2:30 p.m. But what drives you? The love of God compels you. Listen, you can have excuse of not doing the will of God because of the state of the nation. You won't be asked about understand about your nation. That's why you didn't do my will, come here and have the crown of glory. No. We push. For the just shall live how? By faith. Okay, let me give you another one then. As you wind up, you are loving me more now. You are loving me more now. Yes. 1 John 3:16-17. By this we know love, because he laid down his life for us, and we also ought to do what? Lay down our lives for the brethren. That's what I'm talking about. Lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoever has this world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him? Talking about the love of God here, you cannot talk about the love of God and not talk about God's generosity. He is generosity. Let me wind up with this and give you a warning, a spirit-filled warning. Let's go to Amos chapter 6, verse 1, from the New King James Version. It says, "Woe to you who are at ease in Zion, and trust in Mount Samaria, notable persons in the chief nation, to whom the house of Israel comes." Woe to you who are at ease in Zion. So he says, "And trust in Mount Samaria, notable persons in the chief nation, to whom the house of Israel comes." This is the prophet Amos in his time. Remember, after King Saul, then there was King David. And from David was who? You just say Solomon. And it's Solomon. And Solomon sinned against the Lord. And the Lord said this, "I am going to split the tribes of Israel because of your sin. But because of David, my servant, who served me wholeheartedly, I will leave a tribe for his sake." In other words, to continue the kingship of the rulership of David. So they were given two tribes, which is what? Judah and Benjamin. And the other 10 tribes, they were turned over to Jeroboam, the son of Nebat. And the other one, the two tribes, were turned over to Rehoboam, the son of Solomon. So there was a split. So anyway, the kings of Israel were wicked compared to the kings of Judah. They were wicked also, kings of Judah. Kings of Judah. But the kings of Israel were wicked. At some point, God started speaking through his prophets of them being taken into captivity. Of course, you know, Israel was taken first, destroyed, and the 10 tribes were scattered by going to Assyria, attacked and scattered. And then the two tribes were taken to, they were taken to Babylon. You know, that time of people like Daniel, Meshach, Abednego, and the rest were in Babylon, and they came from Judah. Now then, Prophet Amos, before this, the Israel was taken into captivity, he's saying this to the children of Israel. "Woe to you who are at ease in Zion and trust in Mount Samaria, notable persons in the chief nation to whom the house of Israel comes." So, my warning is this to you. Beware of being at ease in Zion. I'm going to define to you what that means. Being ease is the state of being comfortable. That word, E-A-S-E, is a state of being comfortable. And I want us to read it from Amos 6, Message Translation. Then you'll see the answer there. Now listen to this from the Message. Okay, it's lengthy, it's a mouthful, but listen to this. "Woe to you who think you live on easy street in Zion, who think Mount Samaria is the good life. You assume you are at the top of the heap, voted the number one best place to live. Well, wake up and look around. Get off your pedestal. Took a look at Calne. Go and visit Great Hamath. Look in on Gath of the Philistines. Doesn't that take you off your high horse compared to them? You are not much, are you?" Now let's go forward. This. "Woe to you who are rushing headlong to disaster. Catastrophe is just around the corner. Woe to those who live in luxury and expect everyone else to serve them. Woe to those who live only for today." You see that? They live only for today. "Indifferent to the fate of others. Woe to the playboys, the playgirls, who think like life is a party held just for them. I don't know if language means that anything to you. Life? Who think that life is a party just left? Just what? A party held for them. Woe to those who are addicted to feeling good. Now that is a problem in church. Why would the pastor talk to us the way he talked to us? Want to feel good, you're not going to church. Woe to that. Because you can have, I mean, you can go to places, you feel good. You're told when you pour water on you, by tomorrow afternoon you'll get some money. So I've seen actually preachers lift up mobile phones. Money, I'm receiving money, 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 poker. And the congregation said, poker, amen, bishop. I've seen that. In this city, they have mobile phones in the air. Mobile phone is a mobile phone. If you saw nothing, what are you going to receive? Nothing. You can get your poker until you poker. Nothing will poker. You'll get SMSs. Gorgeous. You know those SMSs. The principle is seed time and harvest, not high lifted mobile phones. Okay? So you say, woe to those addicted to feeling good life without pain, those obsessed with looking good life without wrinkles. They could not care less about their country going to ruin. I saw some response in the internet, and you can tell the people don't care about their country going to ruin. They have no idea of what will happen. Those ones are ease in Zion. Don't be part of that, church. Let me see the next one, then I'll make some points. But here is what really coming, a forced march into exile. Remember, he was telling them, hey, if you don't change, you're going to exile. They leave the country whining, a ragtag bunch of good for nothings. Go read in your own time. Go read, please, in your own time. But my point is this. Be aware of being ease in Zion. I am very thankful to God for technology and modernization. I am so thankful that I don't have to walk for a funeral in CI. You understand? Walk and walk or go in a donkey. You can ride, you can drive, you can fly. I'm so glad. You understand? Really, I am so glad. Life has become easier, have you noticed? In so many ways, technology. I remember the first time I drove to my village. I come from about 380 kilometers from Nairobi. For years, we'll go, you know, you wake up in the morning, go to that place, River Road, the coast bus places, and then wait for the bus. And finally, it starts, you know, the buses, and they don't apologize. They didn't keep time. They don't apologize. Then you go all the way the whole day. So if you left at 6 a.m., you are leaving town at 8, maybe 8:30, sometimes 9. Then the whole day, no AC or air condition. You're just there sweating. It stops at Mtitwandei. You come out and still just go there. And there it's hot. You know, you thought about Mtitwandei to Voi in the afternoon? Anyone who's ever traveled that side? You all travel this other side? The way it gets hot. It's hot. The bus has no air condition. Maybe my mama is sitting next to you with a child, or two of them. Huh? At some point, they start, you know, what comes in, start comes out, coming out through their mouths. And then by the time I'll get to my village, it's way in the evening. The first time, now I got married, Tina and I drove the first time to my village. We were there at 12:30. We started going there. The first time we had a problem with the vehicle. But the second time we drove, we were there at 12:30. I felt like I had spent half of my life traveling. Wasted my life traveling. I thought my home is not that far. I always thought it was far. My mom was surprised. How do you come so fast? Mama, things have changed. My mom and dad were school teachers, primary school teachers. And in the late 60s, from the coast all the way to Turkwell in Turkana, they were posted there to be teachers. We still have those photos, black and white. You have all the students naked in class. We have them, I'm serious, black and white. You have shown them, black and white. And my dad is holding them behind. They just, don't imagine, Tofa, you understand that? Stay in the spirit. but think about that. And they travel from Kapenguria, from Kitale, going to Lodo. They're using lorries once in a while. They're there. They'll wait and wait and wait. Think about that. My mom had then four children. There was my cousin she was raising. Four children, young ones. They were like staircase. You know, 65 December, 66 December, 68 March, 67 and 68 March. Four of them traveling. I was born much later, thank God. I didn't have to go through all that. But I'm talking about how difficult it was then. But thank God for the modern times. Anyone who's grateful? Yes. Oh, I am. I'm grateful. However, if we are not sensitive, this can lead to being ease in Zion and miss out the will of God. That can lead to that. You know, it's so easy to sit down and on Sunday and not come to church and watch online with your blankets around you and coffee and tea and all that and your pajamas and ladies with your headgear. You know what I'm talking about, you. And listen, you can do that over and over again and get used to that. I'm telling you something about the Master. His word is the truth. His word is supreme. He says, do not forsake the assembling of others. I'm not talking about Brother Steve, of course. We agreed with Brother Steve. Some things, I'm not talking about Brother Steve. But look at this. You can get used to that. And you are a young person. You're supposed to be in church. Sometimes, literally, I have met with people and say, oh, pastor. And I'm thinking, I'm still his pastor. I don't know the last time I saw them in church. We watch you online. That's being at ease inside. Let me tell you something over here from the scriptures. Philippians 1:29. For to you it has been granted on behalf of Christ, not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for his sake. I'm not saying of sickness, disease, and all that, but listen to this. Serving him, you will pay the price serving him. That's the gospel. You didn't buy salvation. You'll never do anything to buy salvation. But let me tell you something. After you've been born again, there's a price. There's a cost. The Apostle Paul, the one who wrote about two-thirds of the New Covenant, shows us that if you want to serve Christ, you'll pay a price. You're still singing that song? Serving you is my... Yeah? Listen, delight is the joy inside of you because, you know, it doesn't matter what you're going through. You're doing it with joy. You're doing it with hope. You're doing it with enthusiasm. You know you have the victory. Serving him will cost you. But the beauty of it, there are many rewards. There are many benefits when you serve him. Wake up. Rise up. Don't allow yourself to be at ease in Zion. Do very little. You see, that's why people are saying, lift up your phone. You are receiving money. And anyone can do that. You don't know how to lift up your phone. Some even don't lift up their hands in church, but lifting up your phone is easy. It's money anyway. It's easy. Listen, anyone can do that. That's not the gospel. Let me ask you a question, church. Did the Son of God pay the price?
Yes.
Did it cost him something?
Yes.
Do you think serving him will cost you something? It will. You will never go to the cross to pay the price for anyone. But listen to this. We have the enemy, the devil. He doesn't want you to serve the Lord. You have the flesh. You have opposition. You must resist that opposition. You must go against the grain. In 2 Timothy 3:12, the New King James Version says this, yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus. Did he say some? All who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. Being at ease in Zion, you'll never have any persecution because, like Pastor Wade will say this, the devil has you in his back pocket. Nothing much. Church, rise up within you. Rise up and serve God in your generation. Don't accept yourself just, oh, the comfort of life. Oh, yeah, I love comfort. I really enjoy comfort of any kind. But listen this. If we are looking for comfort only, you will not do much. Just think about what the nation has gone through in some few weeks now. And people can be busy during the day on internet, believers, and then go to sleep, maybe at 10 or 11, they're still being on internet, and then wake up at 6, 6:30. They don't think about the nation, still get into the internet. Remember that scripture? Go at the ruin of the nation, that Amos chapter 6. We must contend with the forces of darkness. When was it on Monday night? I was tired. I mean, coming up Tuesday morning, I could tell an alarm inside of me. I was up early in the morning asking the Lord, what am I supposed to do? He answered me. He shared with me some things. If I speak to some of you, you will not receive. Why is that so? Why is that so? I pastor all of you, you know that. Because you're politically minded. You're not spiritual minded. In fact, probably it will cause some emotions. I'm not going to do that. But he spoke to me on Tuesday morning. And if I tell you he spoke to me, he did. I wrote it down. He reminded me of some things. And then things started unfolding and they keep unfolding. But listen this, we must believe for a nation. What? To who? No, that's not the part, actually. There's the message, there's a part there towards the end. Let me read it again. We're winding up. For sure we're winding up. Okay? Be of good cheer. Be of good cheer. Serving you is my delight. You're still not singing? Is that Mrs. Campbell? I never heard you sing, Mrs. Campbell. But look at this. Okay, go look at this. Woe to those addicted to feeling good life without pain, those obsessed with looking good life without wrinkles. They could not care less about their country going to ruin. Don't be part of that church. There will be a price. We do what we do because the love of God compels us. I speak, like Ephesians chapter 4, I think should be verse 15, I'm speaking the truth in love. I'm speaking the truth in love. Why? We want your life better. We have many opportunities. Speaking the truth in love, we may grow up in all things into him who's the head, Christ. There are opportunities. There are opportunities for your marriage. Sometimes almost family mountain every time say, you need to be in DU. But there are some people who even don't think about it. You know, if we help people, literally help people who are in need. And I'm thinking, in the natural, I'm not related to this man or this individual, but my heart is moved with compassion. What am I going to gain? The love of Christ compels me. That should be our passion. The love of Christ compelling us. There's opportunity to serve the next generation, like through KSCF. Some of you the Lord has been speaking to for a long time. But don't let your love grow cold. You don't. You don't show up. Be loosed from that spirit of stupor, insensitivity, hardness of heart. I, by the authority given to me, by the head of the church who called me, and by the authority, even Pastor Sweden and Callum, and calling, anointing me, and as the pastor of this church, I take authority over that spirit of stupor, insensitivity, hardness of heart. I break your power now in the name of Jesus. These are generous people. They hear the word of God. They respond to the word of God. They are compelled by the love of God. They are focused to do the will of God in their generation. I break every power of darkness in the name of Jesus. Father, pour out your spirit of prayer and intercession that they may be moved in their time of prayer and time to take their time in praying for this nation, in praying for your will to be done on this earth. I release faith that is done in the name of Jesus. Every bondage of darkness that have caused your people not to serve you, I break its power in the name of Jesus. Father, pour out your spirit. Let us know generosity as we are generous people. Let's know passion, for we are people full of compassion. Let's know love, because we are people who love God and who are moved by the love of God to do things for the kingdom of God. Father, thank you for hearing ears, seeing eyes, and hearts that are responsive to your will. Those who have called into this church, you've said, Father, the sheep know the voice of the shepherd. Thank you, Father, for your spirit stirring up things in their hearts. I praise you and honor you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. That is the answer. Wake up, rise up, and serve God in your generation. Hallelujah. Yeah, rise up, serve God in your generation. The body of Christ has to be stirred up. We must rise up. There are opportunities, church, to serve. Many opportunities to serve. Be part of that. Can I see more and more participating? Amen. You hear of a meeting, be there. I mean, just think about the love of God compelling us. Let me give you another example of the parenting seminar that we had with Dr. Salim Cole. Oh, amazing. I honor that man. Because he honors God and his word. Everyone, I thought of this in this manner. Everyone 20 years and above could have been here. Even if you're a grandmother. You see, you say like, my children are grown up. Oh, can I give you an answer for that? You're selfish. Because you're not parenting others then. We parent communities. You can listen to God and you can be such a parent to so many children. But all my children are grown up, I don't have to attend that meeting. That's being at ease in Zion. That's being indifferent. The spirit has left you. Rise up and serve God. Will you stand up on your feet, please? You may be thinking, did Pastor go to Siaya to come back and talk to us this way? No, no, no. That's the spirit of God stirring you up. This is not Siaya talk. This is heavenly talk. Amen. 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 Amen.